So it is quite literally the case. You can't say the words Penn State without thinking about college football and the legendary program headed by longtime coach Joe Paterno, who this year became the winningest head coach in college football history. It's a legacy in college sports without peer, but this weekend, an internal scandal involving a former assistant coach and two top university officials has turned the world of Penn State football upside down. Questions of a cover-up and allegations of longtime sexual abuse of eight boys at a separate charity mentoring program while the accused assistant coach was on Paterno's staff. Joining us is Connor Ennis, college football editor for our partner, The New York Times. Connor, good morning.
Good morning.
So this is a very complicated story. As I understand it, we've got two officials who are in trouble for lying. We've got the assistant coach whose investigation for these sex abuse charges goes back a long way. Can you separate the three individuals that are involved in this case?
Sure. Well, let's start with the coach, who's Jerry Sandusky, who for 32 years was on Paterno's staff and was sort of known at that time as the architect of the defense. You know, Penn State is often referred to as linebacker U because of their just legacy of all these great players that have come through on the defensive side.
So for people in college football, they knew Sandusky's name as well as Paterno's.
Sandusky was a very prominent figure and was often thought to be, at the time, nobody knew Paterno would coach well into his 80s. He was often thought to be the likely successor to Paterno as the head coach. And as Penn State is winning, you know, national titles and doing it often because of, thanks to their defense, Sandusky is given a lot of credit for that. So he's a prominent, well-known figure in the program.
And he retired in 1999.
He retires in 1999,
Let me play you a clip from the Associated Press that was recorded around that time, and listen to what he says here. And in light of the allegations over the weekend, quite frankly, it's pretty chilling. Listen.
I'm going to start some football camps for young kids because I still love coaching. I'm going to do that with our sons, EJ and John.
Voice of Jerry Sandusky there, looking ahead to his retirement and working with young boys. And what are the allegations here? And it appears to be fairly directly related to that casual statement.
Yeah, well, the allegations that the grand jury report lays out are involve eight boys over a period of about 15 years. And they're, you know, the grand jury report is relatively graphic in terms of abuse and allegations of, sexual assault and those type of things. Sandusky, for a long time, as he was an assistant on Paterno's staff, and indeed, as you just heard, after he retired, was involved with the Second Mile Foundation, which is something that he founded back in 1977, an organization that helped disadvantaged youth, often boys from, you know, broken homes or single-family homes. And he was well-known to be, you know, involved, and that was sort of part of his legacy that, was always looked upon as a positive in terms of that. But now, obviously, it's seen in a totally different light.
And it's within these mentoring programs of young boys from the ages of under 13 to, I gather, 18 that the abuses allegedly took place.
Yes, that's the way it seems to be.
All right, let's just read a statement here that was issued last night. Finally, Joe Paterno had a response here. Quote, "The fact that someone we thought we knew might have harmed young people to this extent is deeply troubling. If this is true, we were all fooled, along with scores of professionals trained in such things, and we grieve for the victims and their families." Connor Ennis, college football editor for our partner, The New York Times, assess for me the vulnerability of Joe Paterno here, the vulnerability of the program, and just what does this mean in the college town there?
Yeah, well, let's first say that in the grand jury report, there is no allegations of wrongdoing by Paterno. He's not charged with anything. It doesn't seem at this point that he's going to be charged with anything. Of course, that could always change. The The thing to remember about Paterno, though, is that in the world of college sports, which continually seems to go into the gutter in terms of, you know, recruiting violations,
sure,
and paying players and all, Paterno stands almost above everybody else in terms of standing for integrity, standing for stability, standing for, you know, all the good things that sports are supposed to stand for. In Pennsylvania, it's hard to think of a more revered figure,
and so,
certainly a more beloved figure.
And so the implication here is if an individual with this kind of a problem was protected by the Penn State program with Paterno at the head, it calls into some serious question, you know, how responsible these folks were being just in terms of looking the other way.
At the very least, people will be asking hard questions about, there are a couple different instances in which allegations are sort of brought to light, especially one in 2002 in which a graduate assistant is an eyewitness, he says, to an assault. He goes to Paterno. Paterno, of course, at that point then goes to the athletic director, Tim Curley, who's one of these officials that has been charged with perjury. And he says something, you know, he reports that something has, a graduate assistant has seen something. There's a little bit of discrepancy about how graphic the graduate assistant has told him in detail what he's seen. But then he goes to the AD, and then it sort of stops. And there's going to be a lot of questions about, you know, did Paterno ever follow up? Did Paterno, you know, maybe legally he's in the clear in terms of he goes to the superior, who's the AD, but morally, did he ever think I should check with the AD, with the police? I should go back and check with the AD and follow up on some of these things.
And this Sandusky was still allowed on campus even after these allegations.
He's still allowed on campus. He's given almost, in 99 he retires, and he's sort of given emeritus status on the campus. He still has a office there. He has keys to a lot of facilities. And, in fact, his Second Mile Foundation still holds a lot of camps on the university campus.
All right, so finally then, what does this say about the institution of Penn State University having an athletic department that appears with Tim Curley, the athletic director, and Gary Schultz, the senior vice president for finance and business, you know, in trouble for allegations of perjury to a grand jury? What does it say about the athletic department having a different set of rules than everybody else at the school?
Well, it's almost that the school is so wrapped up in the athletic department because it goes, the other official is a senior vice president for and treasurer, and the president of the university is knows about some of this too. The implications are a bit scary and shaky for the university.
Tough times for Penn State University. We're talking about sexual allegations that erupted over the weekend, calling into question the football program there. Connor Ennis is college football editor for The New York Times. Thanks so much, Connor.
Okay, thank you.
More of the takeaway throughout the morning in just a few hours. The Census is going to release a report on what poverty looks like, going beyond just measuring income and expenses. But being poor looks different depending on where you are in the United States. Give us a poverty picture in your community. Going beyond the numbers, we want your story. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And after last weekend's 5.6 magnitude quake in Oklahoma, we were calling out to our listeners, where were you when you felt it? Cody writes, 5.6 on the holy crap scale, says Cody. I feel more comfortable with the tornadoes we get in Oklahoma. Most of us figured it was the big man upstairs showing support for Oklahoma State. Go Pokes. That's Justin in Enid, Oklahoma. You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Huckenberry. Celeste Headlee is out this week on the West Coast. This is The Takeaway.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others.
In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.